Yes, it is Friday the 13th, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Good morning, wherever you're listening, and we are at Scone Race Club this morning. This picturesque track is glowing on Darley Scone Cup Day. Great atmosphere around town as the standalone is back in town as well tomorrow. So a big couple of days here at Scone, and we're lucky enough now to be joined by local trainer Rod Northam. Rod, morning to you. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Nate, saw you at the golf club there yesterday, and you were with a couple of your owners who have come here to watch one of their horses. Just tell us what transpired as you were on the course there yesterday morning.
Well, I had told them previously, but I just thought I'd do the scratching of the horse as we were playing golf just so they could hear it go through officially. So, that was sort of... it just sort of rubbed the soul into the wound a little bit as we were hitting off on the first.
Exciting time for a local trainer, Rod.
No, home track. So, you know, it's always a good time for us. This is a sort of the 2 days that we sort of target our stable and all the other country, all the other Scone trainers target this day as well. So, and it's a really exciting day because the whole town, all your friends come to the races. Normally if you go to the races, you know, like they watch on TV in the pub or from home, but you get all your friends together and have a good day out.
Rod, how much of an advantage, again, we talk about it in all sport, is having that home track? And what, when would, let's say a city horse, when would that come to somewhere like Scone with its preparation for a day like today?
It sort of varies a little bit. Some guys will come the day before. Some will come in the morning of the race. It's probably getting a little bit easier to travel morning of the race now because Scone's become a lot closer to Sydney with the new roads. But, some people come the day before, some come 2 days before. I normally like to arrive 2 days before if I'm going to come early, just to give the horse a bit of time to settle in. But I'd say a lot today will come on the day.
How was the Calcutta last night?
Yeah, it was pretty good. They had a pretty good crowd there and a good pool, so good vibe around the room. So, yeah, it was sort of was really good.
Did Marlowe and Stanley host it last night?
Stanley was missing in action, but Marlowe was there in fine form.
Why he was done up. He had all the gear on, Marlowe.
Yeah, he had the phantom call.
He did stick out in RSL and he's gear, so he generally sticks out wherever he goes. So.
Just describe the get-up he had on last night.
Oh, I don't know. I think it was a white suit or something like that. I'm not sure.
I saw him get out of the car when he got here, when he arrived with DS.
And he looked good, didn't he?
Jeans and just a hoodie on, and that's what obviously we all wore to the cottage for dinner. And he goes, "Oh no, I can't wear." I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Nah, this is just the travel attire. I've got to change into the number ones." And then he did. He was at a major event. It was black tie function for Marlo.
Stylish Queenslander, isn't it? Tell us, Rod, the significance of having the Saturday meeting back here, the standalone meeting back here, and what it's done for the town.
It's great for the town. The whole town was a bit disappointed last year, to tell you the truth. But, it brings money into the town. It's when you've got a Friday and a Saturday, a lot of people will come and they'll stay the Friday night and then they'll stay on the Saturday night and mosey on back on the Sunday. And that's, whereas if it's just on a Friday, a lot of people just come up for the day and then head back. So it just makes a whole weekend of it. And, yeah, it just pumps that extra money into the town and all country towns, you know, need that bit of money.
Mm. Yeah, racing's improved all around the state and there's a lot of money involved now and it's hard to sort of place your horses to try and get a win. And, you know, all the big trainers, go to the country and target certain races. How confident are you about your runners today?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. They've all been sort of targeted towards these races. I think Boot Scooter in the first, we wanted to give her a nice, put her in a 1,000-metre race first up because we knew it would be too short and that she wouldn't win. But we might have been lucky she missed the start because she flew home and wasn't beaten that far. And 1,300 second up home track should really suit her. So I'm quite keen that she'll run. She's probably the best of my chances today. And then we've got Spritzer Saritza in race three. She's probably looking for a mile. She loves Scone. All of her best races she runs on a home track and drawn really well. So she'll run well. And then we've got Fans, who's sort of... It was a target for him to be first up in this race, the Class 1 1100. The owner was quite keen for him to run here, so we've targeted towards this. No trial, nice and fit, should run well at sort of 50-1. And then the next race, we've got Horizon, who is racing really well. He's found form his last two starts. He won two starts ago, and then last start, he ran a really good second, was a little bit green, and he'll appreciate the 1100 as well. So they're good chances. And then we've snuck in with She Makes a Statement, who's won here last prep really impressively over 1200 on a heavy track, and won by four or five. So she's not out of the, you know, she could produce a best form second up as well.
She's 40-1. Ooh. Mm. She Makes a Statement, $8 the place. That's in race six today. But overall, in the first, you say, is your best chance today. That's Boot Scooter, $5.50 with Tab. On the second line of betting behind Cam Crockett's horse, Indicative, which is $3.60. A Boot Scooter, though, so consistent without winning. Still
a
maiden.
No, she's still a maiden. She's been a little bit unlucky in a few races last prep. She just sort of run around a little bit and still sort of learning how to race. But, no, I'm keen today. Hopefully might be the day.
How many horses you got in your stable, Rod?
I've always got 30 to 35.
Yeah.
Yeah, we sort of have had that number for years.
Yep.
It's just a really good number for me. It's all I can fit, really, and manage. If we had some more stables built here, which is hopefully going to happen, we could sort of, you know, build it up to 50, no problems.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, 30 is a nice manageable number for me at the moment with the boxes we've got. So
you've got two in the highway in the first tomorrow, and the Dramatist has been backed into favourite. This four-year-old by Seamus Award, which was a nice winner last start at Tamworth.
Yeah, really nice horse. Yeah, really, really like the horse. He won against all odds at Tamworth, really. He was caught deep on a track that was a bit of a leader's bias and still won easy. And he's just a nice progressive horse. It just looks like a nice race for him. Mm. But the other horse in the race, Step Lee, who he's got similar sort of talent, but probably a little bit of an enigma. He misses the start, gets back, and he sort of likes to do his own thing. But when he's on, he's pretty good. So
sounds familiar, Loz.
I'm just thinking of how many.
I wasn't thinking of a horse. Let me tell you.
A horse. All of it is a horse you've backed, and you just give exactly that description. How'd that horse go? Well, got back. Missed the start.
Yeah. I think he's got plenty of mates. He's got plenty of mates, that's for sure.
Geez, a big, busy weekend for you, mate. Then you're off to Tamworth on Monday.
Off to Tamworth on Monday, yeah. So I don't know how that'll go, but at least we've got Sunday in between. I can get a sleep. it'll work out all right in the long run. It'll be all right.
Because I reckon, I was, a couple of blokes yesterday were saying, like, hotel rooms, basically between, I don't know, here and Muswellbrook, you just got no chance.
You can't get in. No, you
12
can't
months in advance at least.
No. Well, I've only got 10 staying at my place.
So a few new friends.
It's family and friends, so yeah, floor space is all they're going to get.
Yeah. Well, Rod, great to see you. Always great to come to this track and carnival. And hope it's a successful couple of days for you.
Yeah. No, well, look, they're all going to be around the mark. I'm confident that hopefully we can jag one there somewhere.
Beautiful.
And, we'll have a few beers later on. We're in the marquee later on, aren't we, boys?
I think we might make it in there.
That much about
making
this
an appearance.
Making an appearance.
Just sneak my way in, you know.
Yeah, it'll suit Clarky.
There's some sights in there at 8 o'clock tonight.
Where that band's up and going.
Oh, yeah.
I might be one of them.
Good on you, Rod. Thanks, mate.
No worries. Thanks, Rod. All right, thanks, guys.
Well, of course, June 5 in Melbourne. Massive day for Australian boxing, where we see George Kamposis defend his titles up against Devin Haney. And it is an awesome undercard as well. And one of those who he will be fighting on the undercard, well, he's known as Mayhem. He's got a record of 23 wins, 2 losses. 18 of those he's won by knockout. And he's going to fight for the vacant WBO, International Bantamweight title up against Filipino Aston Polite. It'll be over 10 rounds. Jason Maloney. Jason, good morning to you.
G'day, mate. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Good to have you back on. And how significant is this for you to be on this card?
Yeah, this is incredible, mate. It really is a dream come true. Growing up as a young boy and watching the footy at Marvel Stadium, always dreamt of having a fight there. And at that time, you know, it seemed quite impossible. But now that it's actually happening, I just cannot wait. And absolutely pumped and training hard and ready to put on a great show for everyone that's coming out to watch.
Jace, you look fit and healthy, buddy. Are you ready to rock? Is your preparation been good? And how do you feel? Again, the past couple of fights you've had have been unbelievable, so you must be confident.
Yeah, I'm feeling great, Clarky. I only fought 4 weeks ago, so yeah. I'm primed and ready to go, and it's great to be active and to string these two fights together. So, yeah, I'm ready to go, mate. I could fight tomorrow, but obviously we've still got a few more weeks, so I'll put in a bit more work, sharpen right up, and I'll be raring to go come June the 5th.
I've told these boys and our listeners a number of times, mate, seeing you and your brother train and how you keep yourself in nick even after your fights it's freakish. Like, you boys push yourselves so hard, and I don't think I've seen any other athlete that can stay in that good a nick. Is that something that you and your brother continue to do in case a fight comes with short preparation time, mate? Or is it just your personality? You just always want to be ready to go?
Yeah, probably a bit of both, mate. It's probably more my personality. I love this sport and I want to be the best that I can possibly be. So staying dedicated and staying in shape and looking after myself in and out of the ring is so important. And it's only a short career, and I want to be world champion and be the best that I can possibly be. So staying in shape and staying in the gym all the time and constantly trying to improve, that's what I want to do. And hopefully, the world title will be around my waist before the end of the year, and we'll just keep working hard and trying to cement a good legacy for myself.
Jason, great to talk to you, mate. Your opponent, Palik Tay, what strengths does he have? What does he bring to the ring?
It's a really interesting fight, mate. We're both, the both of us have fought for two world titles and both come short. I got as close as a split decision, and Palik Tay actually had a draw in a world title fight. So you're not going to get anyone more hungry than the two of us. We've both come that close to achieving the dream and just fallen short. So this is really, there's a lot on the line here. Both of us, the winner of this, will take a giant step towards another crack at a world title, and obviously the loser will take a big step back. So there's a lot on the line here. It's a very dangerous fight, but I'm more than ready and very confident that I'll get the job done.
We're speaking with Aussie bantamweight Jason Maloney, who will fight on the undercard of the Kambosos-Devin Haney fight on June 5 in Melbourne. And Jason, go back to October 2020 and that difficult night when you were KO'd by Naoya Inoue, and you've come back and won twice since. When you're humbled like that, just describe mentally how tough it is to come back.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. I was daring to be great by taking on Inoue. He's an exceptional fighter, probably pound for pound, top two, top three in the world at the minute. I'll back myself. I put in the hard work, and I'll get in there and fight anyone and put it all on the line. It was devastating to take the loss, and it was, I was disappointed in my performance. I know that I'm capable of doing a lot better. So it was just straight back into the gym to keep improving, keep winning, and hopefully get another chance at that world title as soon as possible. And yeah, I'd love another crack at Inoue or any of the other champions. So I've been working hard and climbing my way back to earn that opportunity.
I know you don't want to look too far ahead, buddy, but once you win this fight, where do you go from here? Who's next?
This fight being for the WBO international title, it should move me into the number one position with the WBO. So the champion at the minute is Paul Butler from the UK, and that's who I've got my eyes on. Obviously not looking past Palik Tay, but yeah, we want to get a chance at a world title, hopefully before the end of the year. And, now that we've all seen what George can do and George has done, for me, to win world titles and bring it back to Australia and put on these mega shows at a Marvel Stadium or an MCG or something like that, that's the dream. And George has shown that it's possible. So now we all got to keep working hard to make it happen.
Speaking of George, mate, you must be really excited for him as well. I think the one thing, talking to him a few times on this show, he's been super supportive of all the Aussie boxers. And I know you and your brother are exactly the same. So to have this opportunity to fight alongside him or on the same card, you must be pumped for him as well.
Yeah, it's incredible, mate. And, to do what he's done was amazing. And to bring these mega fights to Australia is just a huge, huge thing for Australian boxing. And it's just going to help the sport grow and grow. And that's something that's very important to me. I want boxing to get the recognition it deserves, and you know, to have Australia get behind it and support our fighters like we should. And yeah, it's just exceptional. So for him to have a fight like that, I wish him all the best. I hope he wins and continues his success. And as I said, it just gives the inspiration to the next generation and guys like myself to go out there and win these big fights and bring these mega shows to Australia and keep growing this sport.
Yeah, you talk about growing the sport, Jace. I reckon you know, the last couple of years, it's gone strength. It's gotten bigger. It's gone from strength to strength. There's more people interested. There's more support for big fights in this country. Is that the way that you see it at the moment?
Yeah, mate. We're going to a really great phase in Australian boxing. There's some good talent coming through. But yeah, we need to keep winning. We need it. You know, now we've got this mega fight in Australia. You know, we need to keep winning and keep bringing these events to Australia and getting people involved and people enjoying watching boxing. And then it gives other guys like myself the opportunity to showcase their skills to people that maybe haven't seen us fight before. So I've got to go out there and put on a really impressive performance and have those 60,000 people that come out to support, have them walking away and saying, geez, I can't wait to watch Jason Maloney fight again. How good was that? And that's how we get the sport growing and getting people involved and getting people loving boxing.
Well, it's going to be a big build-up for you, Jason. Big fight there against Aston Polite, June 5. Can't wait for it. Enjoy the preparation. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks, legends. Appreciate you having me on.
Jason Maloney there and on that undercard. Kambosos. By the way, Kambosos Haney, the market with TAB. Kambosos is underdog.
Is he
$2.35.
Really?
We're holding thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for Kambosos and not a bean for Devin Haney, but Haney's the $1.60 favourite.
Geez, he's driven, George Kambosos. When you watch him train and you see the way he talks, and he's got strong belief after winning and fighting, obviously, all the time out of Australia. But I can only imagine what it'd be like fighting in your hometown. Well, not your hometown, but your home country. In front of 60,000 people at a stadium, you know, Marvel Stadium, and when the lights go on and you're walking out.
Imagine that adrenaline.
The adrenaline that's going through your body, you'd be prepared to run through walls.
Yeah. It's your dream, though, isn't it? As Jace just mentioned then, like, for him to have this opportunity, you just, this is what you're, you know, as a young kid, every single training session, all that hard work, all the sweat. Even again, like for someone like Jace, that loss, as you mentioned, Mido, that would just burn him like you would not believe. Yeah. To now get another crack in front of so many Australian fans. That's what you'd be.
It's a good question that Mido asked about, like when you get
how do you come back from that?
How do you get yourself back up and go again? Because as a boxer, you've got to be confident.
Could you think of anything more humbling than getting knocked out in front of thousands and thousands of people?
No.
I mean, seriously. How do you come back from that?
Getting a golden duck at the MCG is not good at all. 100,000, what you walk on and what you walk off all in 3 seconds. That's not great. Yeah. At least my nose wasn't broken.
The one thing about that, why would you ever walk off slow?
Mate, sprint off.
Get off.
Yeah, sprint off. No. When you hear that, like when you get bowled. Yeah. You don't need to see it because you can hear it. Get off, mate.
You know what I love? When you blokes get bowled and you hear the sound, but you still stay there and practice the shot again. Like you do the old. And then you sort of put the bat under the arm and walk off.
Would have, should have, could have. Not today, youngster.
Just get away.
Save it for tomorrow, mate.
Deliciously flaky pastry on top of bottom, which is rolled extra thin, a filling of 100% lean Aussie beef. Talking about Garlo's pies, the only pies you should be putting on your plate, and Garlo's pies are simply bursting with flavour. There's heaps of flavours to choose from, and here's a thought. You can take a night off from cooking. We'll be doing that tonight. You can grab a Garlo's family pie for the whole crew. They're available in all Coles and Woolworths stores. Remember that we are located in the chilled meals section. If you can't find us, ask for Garlo's pies by name. Garlo's pies, they're thin on pastry. They're big on meat. Well, welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. And Tottenham have beaten Arsenal 3-0 in the North London Derby this morning, which pulls Spurs within 1 point of Arsenal in the race for fourth, with two games to play. Now, also over in the IPL this morning, the Who Cares Cup, as we call it, Clarkie.
Speak for yourself.
I
care.
Yeah, a little bit more than you.
Well, we care about the Aussie players. Yeah, correct. Daniel Sam's man of the match this morning.
He's been on fire. He bowled Mumbai to victory, maybe two games ago as well. They might have needed seven off the last over, and he only got three off his last over. So, yeah, he's doing well, Sam's. More of a short-form player. Left arm quick, can smack it with the bat. Got good change of pace, good variations. And played a couple of games for Australia, so... in the 2020 format. So you might see him, if he keeps going like this, he might push for selection in that World Cup squad.
3 for 16 off his four overs. Big weekend coming up with Magic Round there in Brisbane, Manly in Brisbane tonight. That's after the Bulldogs Knights game first up. Overnight or late last night, it was confirmed that the 2027 Men's Rugby World Cup will be in Australia and the Women's 2029 World Cup will be here as well. The USA was awarded the 2031 and 33 World Cups, men's and women's, respectively. Leon Cameron and the GWS, well, they agreed on Tuesday to end his reign as coach of the club. 8.5 years in charge, and he'll coach his final game against Carlton on Sunday. And Lozza, the multi, courtesy of Sticky Wings.
Here we go, Middo. We're going to Flemington Race 1, number 6, and our next guest... would remember the name of this player who this horse is named after. Dool.
A cricketer?
A cricketer? No way in the world. The Flying Doormat.
Oh, Bruce.
Bruce Dool. Bruce Dool. So we're going race
Simon
one,
Dool.
Number six.
New Zealand fast bowler. Yeah.
Dool to win into Scone. Oh. Race six, number 13. I am me to finish top two. And that is paying $9.
On the Tab app, the Tab website, click on Sport and today's office. Bruce Dool was Carlton, right?
Carlton, yes.
Carlton through and through.
Legend.
Our next guest, Carlton fan, I believe.
Yes.
Correct. Joining us, the Chief Executive here at Scone Race Club. Mate, good to see you, Steve.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for coming out. So, sorry we couldn't have put out the sun, but anyway, it's not raining, so that's a positive.
Steve, can you believe he didn't know who Bruce Dool was?
No, I nearly walked out. But anyway, I'll stick around. Like, you've made the effort to come up to the Upper Hunter, so I'll stick around.
I can't believe I thought, why would I think Simon Dool? What a weirdo. Anyway.
Too many wines last night.
New Zealand cricket fan, maybe?
Oh, yeah, huge. How has the community responded, Steve, to having the standalone meeting back here tomorrow to make it the two-day carnival once?
Yeah, look, when I moved up here about 8 months ago, the message was loud and clear from the community that they wanted the second day back. They felt like that was their day, and COVID sort of robbed the club of that and the community for 2 years. So it was, thanks to Racing New South Wales, they supported us with the decision, and about 6 or 7 weeks ago decided to give it back to us. And you know, the fields have been phenomenal, and that's a testament to how much they wanted it back here, not only the community but the participants. So yeah. Really good.
Great feeling around town last night. How many people are you expecting today and tomorrow? And what is the forecast weather-wise?
Yeah, forecast tomorrow, it's almost board shorts and t-shirt, 27
Beautiful.
Degrees.
Oh.
That now should be the last of the rain. So, we're expecting that to clear about 11 o'clock and should be right. So, for a great day's racing.
Yeah, beautiful track, Steve, isn't it? I mean, we were talking about it this morning. You get up on that hill over there and you can see the whole racetrack and plenty of people come. And we've been here a couple of times. We always enjoy it. But every country town and race club, it's always a different feel, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And this is, it's a great viewing track. It was only built in 1994, so... Mm. The thing is, with other race courses, they're probably built on 100 years' worth of history, so they're trying to patch things up and make it better. We're here, it was 1994, where they could lay it out, and, it's a beautiful viewing track to watch the races, and, I'm quite lucky that my office downstairs outlooks it every morning, so it's, it is quite a nice... this is this area. It's everything. You drive through the studs and things like that, and it's just amazing, the countryside. So, we're quite lucky.
Mm. And we were lucky to be at Wagga last week. We used to be the chief executive there and moving here. Give us an idea of how, I guess, the challenges are different from those two carnivals and those two race clubs.
Yeah, look, Wagga's a big location. There's 70,000 people, and then... my wife will attest to this, that we've moved here with 5,000 people, and you know, she's wondering where the nearest Big W and things like that are. And yeah, we're used to in Wodonga or Wagga where it's, you know, 3 minutes down the road and you get what you need. And so, yeah, that's taken a little bit of adjusting for the family. But it's just, it's different. This is horse heartland. So it's the horse capital of Australia. All the studs are here. And they all get right behind the club, which is really good. So the difference is everything is just around breeding, racing. It's you live and breathe it in town. There wouldn't a day go by you get stuck behind a horse truck. That's okay because that's part of the gig. So it's So while they're similar because they are both two strong clubs, there are slight differences.
And you mentioned the fields and the strength of them. I mean, that's such a nod to this track and this club because let's look at the options.
Yeah.
That the trainers have got. I mean, there's a Group 1 meeting in Brisbane tomorrow and a lot of trainers, oh, no, I'll come here to the Cup meeting and run it in a listed race tomorrow and the standalone. So that is just a compliment to, A, how this surface is and how the club operates.
Yeah, 100%. And we've been lucky enough to, a lot of that rain that we've seen over the last probably 2 months has all stayed coastal. And so we've missed a lot of it. Even in the last 48 hours, there's centres that are an hour away from us that have had 2 inches of rain, and you know we've had 14 mil so over the last 48 hours. So we've even missed the rain that's around at the moment. So it's worked out really well. Yes, we're a heavy eight at the moment, but you know there's a lot of parts of it are a soft seven. So it's on the better side of an eight, and you know with no more rain. We'll hopefully for an upgrade later in the day.
Any big developments on the horizon, mate? How do you, make the race course better? How do you improve the race day? All that?
Yeah, so last year we were given a grant from the New South Wales State Government to build the Centre of Excellence out here. So in the next month we'll have a DA or a development application go in for 300 boxes, two-storey complex that'll be over on the left-hand side. That'll accommodate another 300, and then there's more to come after that. So there's also a DA going in for a poly track for training, and that'll happen in the second half of this year as well. So
there's probably a question for all of you boys. Is there a reason, or is it perfect that you've got Wagga last weekend and Scone this weekend, sort of back-to-back? In an ideal world, is that right for racing,
there's
or can
no
it be changed?
Better
or
person to answer that than Steve.
Yeah, like
socially, no.
Yeah, you're still dusty for a Wagga. Yeah. I've got to get up and go again today.
Yeah, exactly. So socially, no. But horse-wise, there's a gap. They're far enough away that we're not drawing from a lot of their
you're
horses.
Not treading on each other's toes.
Yeah, and look, our
people at the Riverina, they stay in the Riverina.
Even the city horses that go down there, their cup's 2,000 metres, ours is 1,600, so... So there is that, discrepancy, and so it's not that big of an issue. Like Hawkesbury works really well, 2 weeks, so you can go 2 weeks Hawkesbury, then 2 weeks into us. So but down in Wagga, as I said, apart from the social side, and
there's a good opportunity to give the tracks in Sydney a rest, isn't it?
Yep, 100%. And you talk to the ATC, and they're quite open to us having these races because they say they punish them through the carnival, and then it sort of lets them rest, and then they'll do a bit of racing through the winter and then back up for the spring. So, they're very supportive, and there'll be a large crew of them out here today. So not only a busload of members, but, a few of their executives as well. So,
and just those for those around the state who think, got to get to Scone, the key is you got to book now for next year, don't you?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, you had to book your accommodation 2 weeks ago.
Not getting our room. You're not getting my room number 4. Stay out of there.
So I've actually spoken to the wife and said we should actually hire a house out for the week cup. It'll pay for 6 months mortgage.
It's a fatal error, pup. Giving your room number out.
Mate, get in there. Room number
fatal
4,
error,
mate. Get in there.
Oh, geez, I might even give out the hotel we're staying
go
at.
Go for it.
And there's not many in town, so you can work it out. Just go and knock.
You won't miss this hotel. Once you give the name out, you won't
knock
miss
a number 4 at every hotel in town.
You'll find me there.
It'll take you 4 doors.
You would do.
I'll be out the front. You'll see me out the front. You don't have to knock on the door.
I'm going
to
post it on my Instagram. Please staying in room 4.
Yes.
Question mark and not give away the hotel name is. There you go. That's a game people can play.
Bring on Scone tonight.
Because there might be a busload of people coming up later.
The shuttle bus will now run by by room 4.
Sydney, Queensland. I'll be coming up from Melbourne.
Now, the most important reason we've got you on, you've got your ear to the ground, trainers here and personalities, etc.
Yep.
Give us a tip, for goodness sake, Steve.
Yeah, look, I think Rod Northam's got one later in the day. Hiroshima, I think, is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, we had him on early. He spruked. He was pretty confident about all his runners today.
Yeah, race five, number 14.
Yeah, okay.
I think that'll run really well.
Yeah.
But I also, I've been told Boot Scooter might run well in the first.
Boot Scooter was his best, but he was very confident about even his horses that are about 40-1 today. So he'll run well. But Horatian is $19.
Yep. So I think that'll run good at each way odds. And in the cup, I think Dr. Drill is probably one that I'd land on. It's obviously won it 2 years ago. So James McDonald is fair.
Yeah, he goes all right.
Yeah. So anyway, it's and Kira Maher's going fairly well as well. So that's what I'm thinking. And mind you, blokes like Brett Kavanagh, they just he would have circled this a long time ago in the calendar, and been picking around the edges to just really.
Just on that,
swing hard.
With the local trainers, they would suit as a competitive day, wouldn't they? As in taking on the big guys. We'll show you that we've got some MO too.
Yeah, and that's where Scone is a bit different to other clubs, is there are a lot of trainers here who have horses that are city grade. That's one thing, the difference between Wagga is you probably, the city grade horses, you can count them on one hand, where here, they've all got two or three where they think they can go to a listed or a group three. And so there's a number of them through the whole complex. Yeah. So they can aim up at these bigger races with the higher benchmarks, whereas some of the other clubs around aren't as fortunate have, their trainers don't have as strong horses or as many strong horses. So, look, Gary Colvin's got another one that's great, but there's probably not much else around that where here you'll have half a dozen that are at that level, if not more. So, they come out swinging at their home track.
You saw Cav parading in the mounting yard here before.
He was out here early. He was doing he was seeing the track, checking out the track. He was looking for the best part of the track. Yeah. He was seeing how heavy it was.
Yeah, I asked him. He walked back out wide, and I was thinking he might be looking for a bit of a Nash ride out the rail. But anyway, both he and I worked out there a bit at some stage, so there'd be a lane with a bit of compaction now, I reckon.
It's just a great vibe around town. Great to be back, and I hope you enjoy.
Next 2 days. Yeah, it's good as long as the rain stops, which it has. It should be great. The marquee's something else. It's like no other, and look forward to marshalling everyone out at about 10 o'clock tonight.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. That's why we pay security. So.
Straight to room 4. Yeah. Meet you there.
I better get the 40-seater bus to help me 22.
Good on you, Steve. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Brad Davidson, morning to you, mate.
Yeah, morning, Jared. Morning, everyone.
All right, what do you make of this Scone Cup day today? And the Cup in particular, 480 the field, and Dr. Drill now clearly best backed. Good money for it this morning. Rustic Steel still holding favouritism at 480 from Dr. Drill at 5. Plenty of chances though, Davo.
Yeah, plenty of chances. These Cups are always pretty open, aren't they, Jared? And this is no different this year. I've lent the waiver horse like Kerwin's Lane. I know he's got the big weight and then the wide gate, but I thought he's great in the Hawkesbury Gold Cup a couple of weeks ago, handled the conditions there okay, and I do see that the track has been downgraded a bit there this morning after some 10 mil overnight, it looks like. So, heavy 8 there today. We'll see how that track plays. Hopefully the rain stays away and we can get some good drying conditions into Saturday. But, I'm going to go with Kerwin's Lane for me and the Cup guys. As you said, pretty open, but I just think he's in a good frame of mind, this horse for John O'Shea, winning that whole Hawkesbury Gold Cup in really good style. I think it's fair to say prior to that, I thought his best form was probably on dry ground, but he got through the heavy conditions that day pretty well. So I just think he's going great guns. He continues to improve every preparation, it seems. And the five-year-old, he went missing, I reckon, about a year ago. He's just struggling his perform a bit, but John's got him right back on track. So we'll go with him in the Scone Cup today.
What did you make of Very Elegant, this bombshell news, really, the fact that it's going to be moved to France to be trained there?
Yeah, exactly right, Jared. We heard that yesterday, a bit surprising. We heard plans a little while ago that she was likely to have a few runs in Australia, and then they're going to decide whether to defend her crown in the Melbourne Cup or to head over overseas for maybe a race at in England or France or whatever. They ruled out the ARC at that stage. But then we heard yesterday news that she'll be transferred to a leading French trainer there at Chantilly. And yeah, we'll see how she goes over there. You know, going to campaign right throughout Europe later this year. So that's the news there. Look, you know, there's going to be plenty of different opinions on it. I understand if they want to head over to Europe, it's probably easier to base it with a trainer out of out of France rather than get Chris to take it over there and whatnot. So yep, they're going to have a crack, and I think it all comes down to realizing she's a world class stayer who needs 2400 meters plus. And I've said it on this program a few times, guys. We don't have a heap of options for those types of horses with her rating so high. Here in Australia, a lot of ours are handicaps, and there's a few options for sure, a few weight for age races, but not too many. So when they're looking at doing that and want to try to cash in on her strengths over a bit further, then it makes it hard when she's racing over a mile, 1,800, 2,000, and then having maybe the one or two runs at the end of the preparation at 2,400. So, yep, they're going to have a crack over there and a bit more options for her over that bright journey for her, and we'll see how that goes later this year.
Fellas, I've just got to call this text out we got earlier this morning. Very elegant is a spent force. This is an ego trip. 2 years too late, says Jez at Goulburn. Jez, thank you for the text. Did you watch the Melbourne Cup? 6 months ago?
It's a tough market. You've got to be on.
He just had a moment, all right? Everyone can have a moment. We all have them on this radio program.
Right.
It was a brain fade.
Anyway, continue, Loz. Yeah.
Hey, Dave, how do you reckon the Doomben 10,000 tomorrow will play out?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Loz, to see what sort of conditions we do get there at Eagle Farm. We know it's such a good draining track. And I mean, just looking at the riser this morning, it's suggesting no update this morning, but it was around that soft six. And I know some good judges up there suggesting they're working on that soft six, soft five type of range, even with rain predicted. So that's just the way that the track seems to drain really well. And guys, when I was leading into this race, I was really keen to make a good case for a horse like Big Parade, but obviously all went wrong at the trial there the other day, and they've decided to go to the paddock with him. So for me, I can't go past Marzu the way he's going. I mean, that trial was outstanding. He's 4 from 4 this preparation as a gelding, and it just looks to be his type of race. If it was over the road at Doomben on a proper heavy 10, I would have really made a case for Special K, Kevin Tari. I just think he absolutely loves heavy ground. We saw that in the Hallmark at Randwick, where he beat Counter Rupee with the daring ride by Nash Barilla back on the fence. So I don't think we're going to get those type of conditions, though. So then I think it does play back into the hands of a horse like Marzu, who is just flying and going to be able to sit off that speed and rattle home and enjoy the soft conditions there tomorrow in the 10,000.
What about tomorrow up here at Scone, mate? Have you got any winners for us?
Yeah, I think there's a couple there that look pretty hard to beat. Gee, it's a big meeting, wide open field, Loz. But I've gone with race 3, number 1, Military Mission. I thought his run was outstanding. Last start at Gosford last weekend, he just had to do all the bullocking work outside the lead the whole way. Hammer-On had the perfect sit on him with 8 kilos less. And for mine, Military Mission's run was a lot better than Hammer-On's. And I think he definitely gets his chance at the claim tomorrow to break through race 3, number 1. And the other one for me was race 4, number 3, In Secret, filly for the Godolphin Yard. Looks very smart. Love the debut win. Trialled nicely since. I think the team have a good opinion of her. And look, draw on the inside, so needs the inside to hold up there tomorrow. But I think it's a very winnable race, and I think she'll be very hard to hold out later. Her late splits are outstanding on debut, and I think she'll be storming home late. Race 4, number 3, In Secret.
Absolutely with you there. So Military Mission, Davo's best. That's race 3, number 1. And that is $2.40. And best back comfortably in that race with Tab. And he also likes race 4, number 3, In Secret, $3.30. And holding slightly more on Luna Rocks for the Racing League team at $4.40. But In Secret at the top of the market there, being well supported as well. Davo, you have a great weekend. We'll catch you on Sky 1 tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the Scone Carnival there the next few days, and plenty of winners to all of you.